IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Secretary of State Colin Powell calls the growing flap over weapons of mass destruction in Iraq overwrought, overblown, and overdrawn. Traveling with President Bush in South Africa, Powell said no one in the Bush administration intended to mislead anyone about WMDs before the U.S.-led war against Iraq. This week, the White House admitted that Bush made an error in last January's State of the Union address when he said Iraq tried to buy uranium in Africa. Congressional Democrats are pushing for a wider investigation into pre-war WMD intelligence. The government of Belarus is in crisis. The country's president, Alexander Lukashenko, has sacked his prime minister and two top cabinet officials. The firings come in the wake of a row over wages for agricultural workers. Anya Ardaeva reports from Moscow.
The leader of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, has decided to dismiss his prime minister, Gennady Novitsky, deputy prime minister, Alexander Popkov, and agriculture minister, Mikhail Rusi. Speaking at an emergency cabinet meeting on wages, he blamed the government for a lack of discipline and efficiency, and said the ministers had lied to him about fulfilling his orders on paying massive wage debts to agricultural workers. During his 9 years in power, Mr. Lukashenko has shown himself as an authoritarian and unpredictable leader. He has refused to implement market reforms and insisted on keeping a Soviet-style planned economy in the country. Anya Ardaeva, Moscow.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patent active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
During a visit to a Meridian elementary school this morning, Connecticut Governor John Rowland offered his latest assessment of the budget talks among legislative leaders. Rowland says he's been seeing a lot of posturing over the last several days, but nothing to let him believe a deal is coming anytime soon.
What significant progress has been made in the last 2 weeks? We will now go into my third executive order, which will take place this Monday, and the sense of urgency doesn't seem to be any greater than it was 3 weeks ago. And there hasn't been any progress in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Legislative leaders met for a half hour Monday, then for a combined 7 or so hours combined Tuesday and yesterday. Rowland's prediction is that a deal will come either within 10 days or Labor Day. He expects that if something doesn't happen soon, lawmakers will take the summer off and start talking again in September. The state has been operating without a budget since July 1st.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Two new treatments are showing promising results in helping fight peanut allergies. Researchers say activated charcoal appears to reduce the body's overreaction to peanuts. Charcoal is often used to detoxify certain poisons after they're eaten. The latest studies show that when put into a drink, the charcoal makes the allergy-causing proteins invisible to the body. Scientists are also encouraged by a new vaccine. Researchers genetically altered the proteins that cause allergic reactions and inserted them into mice. The results show the animals' immune systems recognized the proteins but did not react in a life-threatening way. Trial tests of the vaccine on humans is currently in the works. Scientists say it does not need to be injected to work. On Wall Street, the major markets were sharply lower today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 120 points to 90.36. The Nasdaq fell 31 points to 17.15. The S&P 500 dropped 13 points to 9.88. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi! I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Years ago, a small hard drive meant a trafficy physical commute. Today, it's the curse of telecommuting. But however you get to work, I'll pave the way with some timely maintenance tips when we come back. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. Whether you commute to work via old-fashioned blacktop or the Internet superhighway, automotive maintenance will give you more time for fun. Just remember, give me five. One, once a year, treat your vehicle to an annual inspection. Two, every 2 years, change brake fluid. Three, it's time for an oil service every 3,000 miles. Four, mark your calendar every 4 years for new radiator hoses. And five, rotate tires every 5,000 miles. Now, take five, away from your busy job to enjoy a cruise in your well-maintained vehicle. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Hey, listen, if you're not doing anything real important right now, switch over to C-SPAN. Ron Paul, the Republican slash Libertarian from Texas, according to our Honolulu Bureau Chief Nadine, is eviscerating the PNAC, the Project for a New American Century. Project for a New American Century? So check it out. C-SPAN, right now, it's live. Ron Paul on House rules where you can, you know, you can bring up any topic you want. And Ron Paul, obviously, I won't say obviously, but without a doubt, he is addressing an empty House chamber, but you might want to check it out. Go to C-SPAN. Again, if you have nothing better to do right now, check out what Ron Paul is talking about. Program tonight produced, as always, by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Do join us if you like, or you can email mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. Have you gotten all of those letters from Liberia, allegedly, or Nigeria, telling you that they're former government officials, and they have millions of dollars salted away, and they just need a business partner in the United States. And please respond, and they'll tell you how you can get $130 million, you know, your cut, right? Oh, God. I usually answer those. I usually write back, and I say something vile and filthy about the alleged writer's mother. I do. And you know, it doesn't stop them from coming, but it stops them from coming from that particular person. Well, there's a new one out there. Have you seen this yet? Have you seen this? I guess the Nigerian letters weren't generating enough money or something. But listen to this one. Maybe you've gotten one like this, too. This is from Sir Jerry, J-A-R-R-Y, Sir Jerry Hamza. Dear Sir, it is my privilege to make a brief introduction of myself. I am Sir Harry B. Hamza, a close confidant of an attaché to an African consulate in Iraq. I have the mandate of the attaché to solicit for a very reliable foreign partner who is in a position of trust and the ability to maintain a transaction which requires utmost confidentiality. The deal, in brief, is that in the cause of the Iraq war, the African attaché to Iraq was privileged to be in the possession of the sum of $350 million and 27 million euros cash, which was given to him by one of the Iraqi generals for safekeeping, with the hope that the war would be won by Saddam Hussein. With the sudden death of this general, who gave the money to the attaché for safekeeping, it became imperative for the attaché to secretly move the money, which is currently stashed away in containers and secured in an undisclosed location, pending when a reliable partner is found, hence the need for this contact. If you find this proposal of interest and you are in a position to assist in realizing this transaction, please contact me immediately by the above email for further details. Regards, Sir Jerry B. Hamza. So there you go. If you haven't gotten one of these yet, you will. $350 million and 27 million euros just waiting. They were given to an Iraqi general who is no longer with us. But I love this line. The money is secretly stashed away in containers and secured in an undisclosed location, probably in the same little area where all of Saddam's weapons of mass destruction are, huh? God, I wonder how many people respond to this. How many greedy Republican, right-wing Christian fanatics respond to this, you know, who get an email like this and say to their spouse, "Hey, Bertha, come here, look at this. By God, we can get some money here. $350 million from them damn Iraqis, boy. Here, wait a minute. Let's. What did it say in the Prayer of Jabez? Get that book out. Remember that book, The Prayer of Jabez? Now, what did it say? Oh, yeah. All right, let's pray here. Get down on your knees there, Bertha. No, to pray. Down on your knee. All right, now. Pray. We're going to get some money here." How many people are going to respond to that, right? But it's kind of funny to me. It's how long did it take to switch from, "My name is Ogala Makapiwala. I represent, used to represent the Nigerian Institute of Monetary Stash Trades and mining stuff. And I have access to 200 million American." Right? It went from that to now it's in a dead Iraqi general. Huh? Don't you love this stuff? Did you hear? I guess you heard about Tucker Carlson and Hillary Clinton. You know, this little snot, Tucker Carlson, had made the comment when Hillary's book was first launched that if he would eat his shoes if she sold a million copies. Well, it's already sold a million. And at the taping of Crossfire the other day, Hillary showed up. Now, Simon & Schuster executive said in a statement, quote, "What has been particularly exciting is the speed with which it has achieved the 1 million sales level. The company ordered a million copies for the first printing, which is an extraordinarily high number for a nonfiction book." Clinton said, "It feels pretty good. I'm excited that this all happened in a month. I'm a little surprised." So Clinton talked about this when she made a surprise appearance on Crossfire to present the little snot conservative Tucker Carlson with a cake shaped like a giant shoe, because Carlson had repeatedly promised to eat his shoes and tie if the book sold more than a million copies, huh? So Clinton showed up presenting this cake to what is described here by Yahoo News as a thankful little snot, Tucker Carlson. Clinton said, "The least I could do is give you something a little tastier." And she also gave him a copy of her book, and it was inscribed, "Tucker, you're number 1 million in my book." When Paul Begala asked Tucker Carlson which part of the shoe he would like to eat first, Hillary Clinton interrupted and said, "Well, obviously, the heel." Now, just think for a second. After all the nasty, hateful, spiteful, bitter, ugly, cutting comments directed at Hillary Clinton from little snap-eared punks like Tucker Carlson, Hillary Clinton still has a sense of humor to walk onto that program and present this little snot with a cake shaped like a shoe. Can you imagine a Republican doing that? No, of course not. Regardless of my feelings about Hillary politically, I think it was a class act on her part Huh? Well, I don't think very much of her politically at all. Sorry, don't want to piss anybody off, but I'm sorry. She's just, to me, she's another DLC a Democrat. But aside from that, she demonstrated an awful lot of class by walking onto that program with a cake for this little snot Tucker Carlson and just making a joke about it. Now, you might say, well, no, come on. It was one-upmanship on her part. She was being even nastier than Tucker by showing. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But the thing that was intrigued me was, can you imagine a Republican doing what Hillary did? Of course not. That's because they are evil animals. Republicans are just, they're evil, that's all. They're mass killers, all of them. They're liars, cheats. Is Ron Paul off of C-SPAN now? He's all, okay. All right, come back to this program. God, I say that and everybody disappears. We always have a television monitor going in the studio with the sound down. Kathy keeps it mostly on C-SPAN, but occasionally on CNN and MSNBC. So it's about, isn't it time for Scarborough Country, the unindicted killer, former member of Congress from the Florida Panhandle, who offed his aide after he got her pregnant? And then didn't he get a divorce and decide not to run for Congress anymore? So MSNBC hired him, huh? Ooh, Malloy, where did you get those accusations? Oh, my God. What else do we have here tonight? Claims for first-time unemployment rise yet again. That's the reason the stock market, I guess. Who cares about the stock market? Took a little dip today. Now, we were told last week, yet again, by the Bush administration that everything's getting better. It's getting better. Well, guess what? The number of people continuing to collect state jobless benefits surged 87,000 more in the week that ended June 28th. There are now almost 4 million people receiving state or federal jobless benefits. That is the highest since the week ending February 26th, 1983. More than 20 years ago. This is the Bush economy. Does anybody with a rational mind, and I realize that eliminates about 80% of the American population. But does anybody out there with a rational mind really believe that Bush has an economic policy? Do any of you really believe that these tax cuts are just working their magic on the economy? Huh? Do you? No, of course not. Now, according to my source, this 6.4 unemployment that was announced last month, that is something referred to as the U3 unemployment rate. I don't know what that means. My correspondent says the more accurate unemployment rate is the U6 number, which is never mentioned publicly. That rose to 10.6 last month. Now, if any of you wizards out there, and you are legion, if you know what my correspondent Mark here is talking about, he didn't elaborate. What is U3 unemployment rate? Now, that's the one that is 6.4, so obviously that's the public one. But he says the more accurate U6 unemployment rate, which is never mentioned publicly, rose to 10.6 last month. Anybody know what that is? I have no idea. So the number of people on the jobless benefit rolls continues to surge thanks to the Bush crime family. These miserable bastards can't do anything, nothing, absolutely nothing. Of course, today, was it today? I've seen this video several times tonight now. They were out in a Land Rover. They went to an elephant preserve, and the Bushes, Pickles and George, and a couple of elephants started doing it right in front of them. Did you see that? Have you ever seen elephants do the nasty? Oh, my God.
Right.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
If you're worried about people finding work, you better increase demand if you're trying to create new jobs. In other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
What? I could never figure out what he's saying in that soundbite. Kathy keeps playing it. But anyway, the reason she's playing it is the jobless rate goes up again. Highest it's been in over 20 years. You have to go back to Mr. Sunshine himself, Ronald Reagan, to find numbers as bad as we have now regarding people on unemployment comp. And it can only get worse. It can only get worse. You know it. I know it. Oh, well. Anthony is calling from Queens, New York, my second most favorite borough. How you doing, Anthony? Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
This is your first time calling.
It is, yes.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir. I'm just calling to make a couple of points very briefly. First of all, I think you touched on it earlier. The unemployment statistics proffered by the Labor Department are totally misleading because they do not count people that have fallen off the benefit rolls.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're no longer collecting benefits or extended benefits, you're no longer counted. And
is that what this U6 unemployment number is that the article I have says it's never mentioned publicly, that that rose to 10.6% last month? Or are you like me, you're not quite sure what U6 is?
I don't know what U6 is. And believe me, I'm up on the terminology. That's a new one to me. But I know that the unemployment rate in New York City is over 10%. And it spans every demographic. I'm a professional. There's also people in the service industry. There's a lot of city employees who have mm-hmm. felt the budget crunch in New York who are now out of work. But they're, for the sake of a better term, more fortunate because they just got fired. My law firm collapsed about 6 months after 9/11. And, it's been temp job to temp job, no benefits, health insurance, et cetera. And in New York, that's $400 or $500 a month.
Yeah.
Student loan payments, a mortgage,
How in the world are you handling all this? Are you married? Do you have children?
I'm not married. I don't have children, but mm-hmm. My savings is gone. My 401k, everything that I could borrow, about $22,000 is gone. Now I'm going to have to pay that back because, I'm going to be taxed on it. There's going to be penalties.
Sure.
It's, the word destitute defined means, on the verge of abject poverty, and that's as close as it's getting. I've got about 3 months, and, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I've done it all. I was in the Navy. I've been a concrete contractor, so I have other irons that I can strike, but, mm-hmm. I didn't go to school for seven years to fall victim to this, and I'm not blaming anybody, but certainly when we see billions of dollars being given in tax cuts, mm-hmm. to people that don't need it, and then we see billions of dollars given to countries that support terrorism, and we need to take care of our own first. And
I would think
there's a surplus we all know about. We've read Krugman's articles, or some mm-hmm. of us have, that there's a surplus waiting to be dispersed to unemployed people, and it should be used as such. There's $20 billion. So I write Clinton and Schumer and the heads of other committees and urge them to do it, but mm-hmm. the House won't pass these extended benefits, as I like to call them.
Right, right.
They'll pass the 13-week extensions, but they won't pass the ones for the long-term unemployed, and that's the real issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough for somebody like me who's never been on the dole. And it may be tough for people that work hard for a living not to understand it, but when you get to be in my shoes, get desperate, it's tough. So
yeah,
that's all
that.
I wanted to say. And
Well, I'm glad you called. I hope you call again, and I hope you stay in touch. Let us know how it's going, okay? I'm serious.
Will do, Mike.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Take care.
Appreciate it, Anthony. Appreciate it very much. All right, quick break. Back to your phone calls. Do stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Union employees of tire maker Goodyear remain in purgatory 2 weeks after contract talks broke off over the issue of job security. About 16,000 Goodyear workers in 12 states are without a labor agreement and ready to walk off the job when given the word. Both sides hope to avert a strike which could cripple the beleaguered company, but the United Steelworkers calls Goodyear's continued movement of tire jobs overseas unacceptable.
The fighting words are back in New Haven, Connecticut, as contract talks stall again between Yale University and unions representing some 4,000 clerical, housekeeping, and maintenance workers. Informal meetings last month brought the two sides no closer to a contract, with the major outstanding issues being salary increases and pension benefits. Union negotiators are willing to accept binding arbitration in order to reach a deal, but they say if there's no new contract by September, they're prepared to launch an indefinite strike.
Another blow to the union rights of government employees. The Federal Labor Relations Authority, or FLRA, ruled this week that the head of the Transportation Security Administration did not overstep his bounds when he revoked the right of airport baggage screeners to bargain collectively as a union. The American Federation of Government Employees, which hopes to represent the workers, says the decision is not surprising given that the FLRA's director is a Bush appointee. The union plans to challenge the decision in a federal court in the coming weeks.
The Philippine government is disturbed by a new report from its Department of Labor and Employment, which inspected more than 6,000 businesses between January and March of this year and found that more than 40% of them were ignoring several labor laws. The most widespread violations were failures to pay the minimum wage and overtime. The department estimates at least 40,000 workers in the Philippines are being underpaid.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
My point is that this plan makes sense. It makes sense from not only what sounds as commonsensical perspective.
What? You know, if he wasn't a mass killer, if he wasn't a lying thug, if he wasn't a psychopath, if he wasn't a soulless zombie from hell, some of the stuff he says you could really laugh at in using laughter that was not at once fearful and kind of like, there's a monster in the corner? Oh, you know what kind of laughter I'm talking about. God, what did he say there, Kathy? What the hell? You talk about his economic plan? Commonsensical. Yeah, okay. Tim is calling from Chicago. Hey, Tim, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
All right.
Good, good.
I have U6 for you.
Okay, the unemployment code U6. Well, first of all, what does it stand for?
That's right. Well, it's not three times U2, the rock group.
Right, okay.
It's unemployment.
Yeah.
The official unemployment, the one you read in all the newspapers, is called U3.
U3.
Okay. And you can actually go to www.BLS, that's Bravo Lima Sierra, okay. .gov, that's the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they have all this great stuff.
www.bls.gov.
Right. So U6, I'll read it right here from the federal government.
Okay.
It says it's the total unemployed plus all marginally attached workers plus total employed part-time for economic reasons as a percentage of the labor force.
Okay, now part-time for economic reasons would mean, obviously, people who can't make it on one income or two incomes or three incomes, so they have to get a second, third, or fourth income.
Well, it actually says right here what it is. It says, according to the government, that means that persons employed part-time for economic reasons are those who want and are available for full-time work but have had to settle for a part-time schedule. You bring up an interesting point, which is actually if you're working full-time but you're not working in your particular profession, you know, you're maybe working at a supermarket and you're a high-paid business analyst.
Right.
That's not counted. If you're working full-time, that would not be counted even in U6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so U6 even is arguably not a full measure of unemployment.
Now, does it on the page that you got this from, BLS.gov, does it state what the percentage is? My correspondent
it
says it's 10.6.
It is 10.6 last month in June when the number came out, 10.6.
Do you agree then with Mark, who wrote to me, that 10.6 is a more honest reflection of unemployed as a percentage of the total workforce?
Well, I think so. And actually, one more number here that's kind of interesting is a year ago, in June of 2002, the number posted for that U6 was 9.8. So a year later, it is up substantially.
Hmm.
All unemployment measures are.
Right.
I think there's certainly a completely valid argument to make that U6 is a very good reflection of the state of employment in the country or unemployment. And but as I point out, even that is undercounting it a bit, arguably, when you consider mm-hmm. that if you are working full time to, you know, to keep some pay flowing into the household coffers, you know, if that's a job at which you certainly are not using your education and training and background and skills, mm-hmm. That may be worth counting toward unemployment as well.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Tim, I knew somebody would come through with the facts, and you did, and I thank you very much.
You bet.
All right, sir. Take care.
Night, Mike.
All right. Yeah, you can check this out. Let's put this in the file, Kathy. A triple W, B-L, B as in boy, L as in Louise, S as in stupid, BLS.gov, Bureau of Labor Statistics.gov. See, that's why I love doing talk radio with this audience. I don't care what the topic is. I don't care if it's something from literature, ancient history, anthropology, Bureau of Labor Statistics, medicine, alternative energy sources, philosophers, religious figures, theologians, apostate executed communist leaders, people who tried to overthrow Hitler. All I have to do is just say, I'm not sure what this U6 means. Bang! And somebody presents it. You folks are great. Talk about getting an education. I certainly do, just from participating in this program. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Madeline is calling, also from New York, from Brooklyn. Hey, Madeline.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing. How about you?
I'm fine.
Good, good.
So last night, like right before your show was going off, you were asking as you put it, I think, transsexual cadre questions about this rumor about Ann Coulter.
Right, right.
Well...
Did you send me the email about the Adam's apple today?
No,
all right. Somebody sent that to me. But
well, I don't know. I can assure you, however, that if she was, that if there was a cadre of transsexuals, we certainly wouldn't include her in our ranks.
Well, I know, but you wouldn't necessarily have any option there. I mean,
well, I don't know. We could figure out something. But in all seriousness, I don't think she is. And I think that as a... It kind of sticks in my craw a little bit that otherwise progressive, liberal-minded people would use labeling Ann Coulter as a transsexual as a point
as
of ridicule.
Insult, yeah, as an insult. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, it's a little lame.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, I mean, try to get through a 24-hour day, Madeline, without either insulting or being insulted.
somebody or somebody insulting you or me. I mean, we can't.
Oh, anybody,
we just can't get through
Ann
it. I know, but we can't get through the day. We can't. I can't tell you how many times. I could go down a list of about 30 different ways somebody could kind of mildly insult me. Based on, oh God, everything from my heritage to the fact that I don't have a college degree,
point well taken.
Just on and on and on, and I constantly insult people on this program inadvertently. I mean, it just never, and sometimes deliberately, it just never stops.
Oh, I guess it just wouldn't bother me if it was anybody but Ann Coulter who I despise
with a fiery passion.
And in fact, she uses a classic case that was tried by the tenth Court of Appeals.
Yeah.
About how ridiculous Clinton was. This
right.
is her point, because he helped pass a bill that allowed a transsexual in prison mm-hmm. to get hormone treatments, because to not get them was cruel and unusual punishment.
Right.
So, I mean, to say that she's a transsexual, well, if she is, she's certainly a transphobic one, because she clearly has the onus.
Yeah.
On.
Well, you've heard of self-hating Catholics, self-hating Jews. Why not self-hating transsexuals?
I have some in my family.
There you go. There you go.
Anyway, if there is a cadre of transsexuals that call, I wanted to request that I could be your transsexual bureau chief.
Absolutely.
Oh, cool.
You got it, kiddo.
All righty.
Thanks, Madeline.
Take care, Mike.
All right, you too.
All right.
Have a nice evening. Transsexual bureau chief? Ow! Now, let me back up just a second. When I say I don't have a college degree, that does not mean I have not had a thorough university education. I have. Oh, my God. If I could just string all the courses together, which I can't. You know how it is. You went to school. But, see, I married up. You know, I married somebody with coming up on her second degree. So, you know, you attach yourself, married or just attach yourself to somebody who is better educated than you are in a formal sense. And it's amazing how that... that works. But, you know, there's a difference. I truly believe this. There's a difference between having a degree and having an education. Sometimes they go hand in hand. They really do. I dated a woman one time who said she had a degree in mass communication. And she, should I say it? Yeah, I'll say it. She worked as a stripper. It was very short. Well, it wasn't that short-lived, but it was a rather quick several months. But she had it, and you know, when we met, it was in the content. It wasn't in the contract text of a strip club. It was actually I was interviewing her on a radio program, and we wound up dating for an extended period of time until I lost all of my friends and my children were starting to not speak to me anymore. And it became pretty imperative to break this off. But she had a degree from Louisiana State or someplace in Louisiana. I don't know. It's an honest-to-God school, but it was in mass communications. And I said, what is mass communications? She said, well, I got this degree and I realized that the best way to apply it was to work as a stripper. Oh, my God. I'm revealing what I said last night. I said I'm on blood pressure medicine. Tonight I'm talking about I used to date a stripper. It was I remember my oldest daughter one time. I said, well, you know, how do you feel about Leslie? And my oldest daughter, the second oldest daughter, said, Daddy, she's an effing idiot. It was at that point I thought, well, maybe it's time to... to back off. She really liked Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, too. I mean, that was her favorite. Where am I going here? Back to the phone calls. Joe is calling from Hartford, Connecticut. Joe, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, huh?
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard. I hope
a couple times, but I never waited it out.
Well, thank you. I hope that little rap there, rant, did not scare you away.
No,
obviously,
not at all.
I'm just tripping tonight. But anyway, welcome to the program, Joe.
Thank you. I just returned from several weeks in Europe, and I was in, as Rumsfeld would call, many of the New Europe countries.
Yeah.
And For someone who's probably traveled Europe maybe 20 to 25 times since the early 90s, I was shocked by the opinion they have on this country. I've never, you know, on a one-to-one basis, I was fine, but the conversation quickly would get into our government, and it was mind-boggling the opinion some of these people have. And they're actually, they were bringing up the conversation of our government, not me.
I'm not all that surprised. Were you? Were you surprised?
Well, I thought I was in Croatia and Slovenia. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to be that bad there.
I read something just the other day that those countries are among the 35 that are being punished by the Bush administration where it concerns certain forms of aid, because those countries are among the 35 that are signing on to this world criminal court, to try war criminals.
Yes.
And the U.S., of course, is not, even though there are safeguards in that law that the average American soldier could not be brought up on charges. We all know that. But the Bush crime family does not believe in justice, nor does it believe in legality. So the article I read said that these Eastern European countries, recently part of the Soviet bloc, recently under the thumb of the Soviet Union, realize the absolute requirement for the law and justice. And their reaction to the U.S. not participating and punishing countries who are participating, the reaction is, okay, that's right, we don't mind losing the $200 million that they were going to spend here because we feel it is necessary, justice and law. And it's intriguing to me that countries recently under the boot of Soviet communism will support a world court, whereas the United States under George Bush will not. I just find that ironic.
Well, it didn't totally shock me, but I had been, maybe this was my third trip since 9/11, and it was the worst as far as attitudes went, and I have to be back a couple more times this year. And
I'm sure the sympathy and the goodwill that was felt towards the Americans because of what we suffered on September 11th has totally evaporated.
Completely, and I guess I didn't understand how it could go so fast, and but many of them enlightened me. But anyway, I do enjoy your show, and I've been listening to you for quite a while, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thanks for taking time to call the program. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. We're at 800 Talk Yes. We have a no. We don't. Not quite yet. Jerry is calling from Bardstown, Kentucky. Hey, Jerry. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Good.
You were talking about not being able to understand what George W. says.
Right.
Oh, I can't either. If I don't have a little fun with it, I'd be batting my head against the wall.
Right.
But anyway, since George W. thinks that God speaks to him, maybe he thinks this is the unknown language that God has given him.
The talking in tongues
thing. Yeah, talking in tongues.
Here
now, if
go.
He can
yeah.
go over to Appalachia, where the fundamentalists have their services and have...
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, and have these old rattlers in a box. If George W. can wear his little flight suit over there, reach down in that box and pick up one of those big old rattlers, well, I guess we'd believe him.
Well, up here, Jerry, in the North Georgia Mountains, we use burlap bags. The bags are just full of snakes. We got copperheads in there. We have rattlesnake. We got timber rattlers. What else? We got copperheads, coral snakes. And occasionally they'll throw in a scorpion or two, and there is nothing that cleanses the soul and focuses the mind more so than going to one of these old churches up in the North Georgia Mountains or the Kentucky hills and hollers, I would imagine.
That's right.
And get all worked up and go up there to the front where the deacons are holding that bag or box and stick your hand in there and bring out one of those vipers. Woo! Lord!
Have you ever seen one? Yeah. A service like this?
Oh, repeatedly. I just for the sheer hell of it, the first time I went, I was doing a story for Atlanta Magazine, and I knew fundamentalists get real funky sometimes, but boy, I'll tell you, after seeing it once, You got to go see it again. It's just something to see. And I'm certainly not, what am I trying to say, denigrating the faith of those people who stick their hands in the bag. But I'll tell you what, that is some crazy business to me. I don't think Jesus ever talked about, hey, come over here and stick your hand in this bag of snakes. I don't think.
I've only been to one.
Yeah.
And I didn't stay for the full service because the first fellow that picked up a snake,
yeah,
apparently wasn't a very good handler because it slipped out of his hands and got on the floor. Now, have you ever been in a room with a live rattlesnake on
no,
the floor?
No, sir. And I don't plan on being in
well,
one.
Well, I wasn't there long.
I hear that. Jerry, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call.
If you've been born a second later, that just might be you. Have you prayed for a way to forgive your latest enemy? Well, then do not do it in my name. Yeah, don't blame it on me. Yeah, please don't do it in my name. Don't blame it, no, 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 on me.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or a fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Another
audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
5 before the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES. If you'd like to join us, Jim is calling from Lisle, Illinois, our long time ago appointed bureau chief out there. Hey, Jim. How you doing? Are you there, Jim?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh.
I'm still trying to figure out this new wireless phone I got. So.
Oh, okay. Well, here you are.
Okay.
Crash, boom, bang.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded of a cartoon that I saw.
Hey, Jim, you got to get us off the speakerphone because it...
Okay, how's this?
That's better.
Okay, I'll just use the real one then.
Okay.
I'm reminded of this cartoon I saw a couple days ago on a different subject where Boondocks is saying, it's a beautiful day. I don't think I've ever seen a sky this blue. And his companion says, did you know Strom Thurmond died over a week ago? And the kid says, are the clouds always this fluffy? And even though it was raining overcast all day up here today, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
I went to Media Whores online today, and the first thing I saw there was this big thing from CBSNews.com. And I never frequent that site because I just kind of write them off as like, I'll see the same thing there as I see at CNN, but that's not so.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I see there is Bush knew Iraq info was false.
Huh.
Right at the top of the page of CBSNews.com.
Huh.
When President Bush told the nation incorrectly that Iraq had tried to buy uranium from Africa, he did so despite being warned by the CIA that it wasn't true. CBS News has learned exclusively.
Wow.
Of course, there's more.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dick Meyer, one of their bureau chiefs in Washington, I guess, says just call him Old Stonewall, and that's referencing the 911 investigation.
Sure.
So things are coming out. Finally.
I hope so. I hope that the news gathering organizations that used to have credibility in this country, in this society, will try to retain some of or regain some of that credibility. God knows they just shredded it like so much shredded wheat during the Clinton impeachment.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, Media Whores also eviscerates your old boss, Walter Isaacson, because in his review,
Hey, hold it right there on Walter Isaacson. And let me do this break. We'll pick it up right there when we come back, all right?
Okay.
Walter Isaacson. Help me remember that, Jim. If you're on hold, stick around. If you're not, 800-TALK-YES is the number. I'd like to hear from you tonight. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mystery Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Jammed rifles and exhaustion played a role in the ambush of Private Jessica Lynch and her army unit by Iraqi forces in March. New details of the deadly encounter are being released in an official 15-page report by Army investigators. Military officials say many of the 507th Maintenance Company's M16 rifles and machine guns malfunctioned during the 90-minute battle in Nasiriyah. 11 soldiers were killed and 9 wounded when a tired company commander took a wrong turn that put the unit in a desperate situation. But despite this, they fought the best they could and were able to inflict casualties on the enemy. The report blames the event on acute fatigue, isolation, and the harsh environmental conditions. Police in Bakersfield, California say 41-year-old elementary school vice principal Vincent Brothers is their only suspect in the murders of his estranged wife, their 3 children, and his mother-in-law. Still, Eric Matlock with the Bakersfield Police Department says officials will need more time to fully investigate all the evidence in the case.
I've asked them to take a step back, slow it down a little bit, because things are moving so fast at such a rapid pace. We're doing this for a number of reasons. It does not mean that we're pursuing other leads than what we have talked about before.
Brothers turned himself into local authorities in North Carolina yesterday, the day after the bodies of all 5 victims were discovered. The FBI had already been called in to assist in a nationwide manhunt for Brothers when he turned up at an Elizabeth City jail asking to speak with California investigators. Once they arrived, Brothers informed them he had retained a lawyer and was no longer willing to talk. He has since been released from jail and has not been formally charged with any crime.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of 3 herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
L.A. Lakers All-Star guard Kobe Bryant will have to wait a little longer to see if he'll face charges in an alleged sexual attack on a 19-year-old woman at a Colorado resort. Prosecutors announced today a decision whether or not to charge Bryant will not be made until next week. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Times reports Bryant was seen talking and flirting with the alleged victim by employees at the resort when he checked into his room. Another employee told the newspaper hotel security was called to Bryant's room after noise complaints from other guests early in the morning on July 1st. The Rocky Mountain News reports Bryant has voluntarily given DNA samples to sheriff's investigators. Bryant is accused of attacking the unnamed woman at a resort near Vail on June 30th. The 5-time All-Star turned himself into authorities last Friday and is free on $25,000 bond.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Two new treatments are showing promising results in helping fight peanut allergies. Researchers say activated charcoal appears to reduce the body's overreaction to peanuts. Charcoal is often used to detoxify certain poisons after they're eaten. The latest studies show that when put into a drink, the charcoal makes the allergy-causing proteins invisible to the body. Scientists are also encouraged by a new vaccine. Researchers genetically altered the proteins that cause allergic reactions and inserted them into mice. The results show the animals' immune systems recognized the proteins but did not react in a life-threatening way. Trial tests of the vaccine on humans is currently in the works. Scientists say it does not need to be injected to work. On Wall Street, the major markets were sharply lower today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 120 points to 90.36. The Nasdaq fell 31 points to 17.15. The S&P 500 dropped 13 points to 9.88. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know, and when I come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing. For Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti, there's one more key to racing. Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars. Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Just like Will and Luke have some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as after-run, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us! Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK, yes, is the number. We're talking with our Lyle, Illinois Bureau Chief, Jim. We were just at the part of Walter Isaacson.
Sure.
Now, let her rip.
Oh, okay. Media Horse Online was commenting how everybody in the horror press is blasting Sidney Blumenthal's book.
Uh-huh.
And Isaacson said this in his review of the book. It would be unfair, albeit easy, to make fun of Blumenthal as a human incarnation of Buddy the dog, tirelessly chasing errant balls and panting with pure affection. Now, when I read that, I thought,
God,
tirelessly chasing errant balls. Isn't that exactly what the Republicans and the press were doing for 8 years?
Hey, weren't they?
By the way, it appears to me the whole right-wing movement is falling apart. They're falling on each other like mad dogs.
I hope that's... I've seen some indications of that, Jim. I want to see the religiously insane religious right get into a nice little mini Armageddon with the politically insane political right and, you know, just go at it. I'll provide the swords and the... the poison darts. I'll be happy. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it in stadiums across the country. Bring in a group of religious right-wingers. Bring in a group of political right-wingers. and let them fall upon each other, eviscerating one another with battle axes. You know, I'm all for it.
Well, I've seen about three examples of it in the last couple of days on TV.
Yeah.
First of all, TV has gotten so bad that when you have legitimate political differences, you have only right wingers on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like immigration.
Right.
You had pro illegal immigration guy from one of these Cato Institutes, I think, and then you had on the other side Victor Davis Hanson from the neocon side arguing against it. So, I mean, it's nice to have this debate, but how about letting somebody else than a right-wing think tank do it?
Yeah.
Just now I got off the TV where Joe Scarborough was lambasting Pat Robertson because he's defending that Charles Taylor.
Well, Pat Robertson, yeah, and you know this.
Because he's got this big investment.
Yeah, the Pat Robertson and Charles Taylor have been doing business together for years. Pat Robertson is going to roast in hell while little demons and imps put together specifically by Satan to torture him. Bugger Pat Robertson. That's what's going to happen to Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson is one of the most vile, despicable defilers of the body of Christ that anyone... I mean, you couldn't make up a Pat Robertson if you wanted to desecrate the Christian faith to a greater degree. You couldn't come up with somebody as bad as Pat Robertson. But his exploitation of the people of Liberia, and not just Liberia, it goes into Uganda. There's several countries that Pat Robertson has exploited, taken advantage of. He steps over black corpses the way most people walk down the street, stepping over ants. I mean, he is just a viciously cruel human being, Pat Robertson.
Yeah, speaking of heaven and hell, let me close with this brief joke.
And just one thing. You know, the fact that Scarborough is saying anything about it, you know, this is a guy who probably is involved in getting his congressional aide back in his home office pregnant and then having her killed.
Yeah.
You know, so I, you know, all these people, they're just filthy, slimy I don't know, you know, I'm out of adjectives, man. I can't, you know, slimy to the fourth power, I guess I can say that. All right, now
Okay. Donald Rumsfeld died and tried to get into heaven.
Yeah.
As he stood in front of St. Peter at the pearly gates, he saw a huge wall of clocks behind him. He asked, "What are all those clocks?" St. Peter answered, "Those are lie clocks. Everyone on earth has a lie clock. Every time you lie, the hands on your clock will move." And Rumsfeld says, "Oh, whose clock is that?" "That's Mother Teresa's. The hands have never moved," indicating that she never told a lie. "Incredible," said Rumsfeld. "And whose clock is that one?" St. Peter responded, "That's Abraham Lincoln's clock. The hands have moved twice, telling us that Abe told only two lies in his entire life." "Where's Bush's clock?" asked Rumsfeld. "Bush's clock is in Jesus' office. He's using it as a ceiling fan."
Thanks, Jim.
Keep up the good work, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. All right. Let me just drop this in before we go back to your calls, as reported in the New York Times today. I'm sure you saw it. Senior officials in Prime Minister Tony Blair's government say they no longer believe weapons of mass destruction will be uncovered in Iraq. Correspondents from the BBC and Reuters, who cover number 10 Downing Street, said that unidentified officials were putting forward the argument that the weapons had indeed existed, but that they were dismantled or hidden beyond discovery before Allied troops entered Iraq in March. Both accounts said that the best hope officials expressed was that interviews with Iraqi scientists and military officers would determine how the concealment or destruction had taken place. Well, it was magic, you jackasses! Saddam Hussein is a wizard! It was magic! He had millions of missiles. He had huge intercontinental ballistic missiles. He had the equivalent of our stealth bombers. There were thousands of airplanes, hundreds of thousands of missiles, gallons, trainloads full of anthrax, all sorts of chemical and biological murdering agents, death, destruction, blah, blah, blah. It was all over. And just before the U.S. invaded, Saddam took his magic wand and went zzzz, And it all disappeared. The New York Times says the failure to discover weapons of mass destruction has undermined Mr. Blair's credibility. Really? Dented his public support. Aww. And turned a majority of Britons against a war they once supported. Well, I would argue that last point. I never saw a poll that said the Brits supported this invasion of Iraq, unless they were qualifying phrases added to the question. Do you support an invasion of Iraq? No. All right. Do you support an invasion of Iraq if you knew that they were nuclear missiles pointed at downtown London? Yes! Yes! You know how they do that. In an appearance before a parliamentary committee on Tuesday, Mr. Blair suggested that only, quote, evidence of weapons programs, end quote, rather than the weapons themselves would be uncovered. When you combine that with Rumsfeld's statements the next day that the U.S. had not been acting on dramatic new evidence of Iraq's weapons when it invaded Iraq, Mr. Blair's modified language appeared to indicate a coordinated tactical retreat by Washington and London. Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. We may not be able to get rid of George Bush because of our clunky system that allows presidential contests to be decided by Fat Tony Scalia and his mafia cohorts, but I will guarantee you that Tony Blair is out of there. And if there was justice on this side of the Atlantic, Bush would precede him. Lane is calling from Long Island, New York. Lane, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard, sir.
I'm really enjoying the show. Thank you. Glad I found you.
Yeah, me too. How did you, by the way?
I found the IE Radio Network link on another left-wing website. I don't remember which one, and I kind of was checking you guys out, and I...
Well, welcome aboard.
Well, I'm glad to be aboard. I wanted to mention about that guy in New York who is unemployed.
The gentleman that called in earlier?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's a good example of an issue that's been on my mind a lot, and that's the idea of individualism versus community or collectivism.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this myth in this country where there's a lot of right-wing rhetoric that you've got to take personal responsibility. You've got to do everything yourself. It's
right.
All up to you.
Right.
And you hear a lot of that, well, me and my family made it. If you can't make it, well, there must be something wrong with you. And
right.
There's a lot of that rhetoric. And it usually comes from the well-to-do. And there's this myth that, you know, there's equal opportunity for everyone. And if you can't make it, well, it's your fault. Too bad.
That's a lie, of course.
Of course it's a lie.
It's a terrible lie.
It's a total lie, and it's a lie that's fed to people to, you know, maintain the status quo of inequality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people have no concept of social responsibility, collective responsibility. You know, of course there's individual personal responsibility. That goes without saying, but there's also the responsibility of the society, responsibility of the government.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shared responsibility. We have mutual responsibility for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And our culture makes us so atomized. We're so isolated. And we think we're the only ones. And we're, you know, I'm the only one who can't make it. I'm the only one who thinks this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason why your show is great, because, you know, it's other people who think the same way. It's like, wow, there's other people who think the same way I do.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we got to start thinking, you know, the things that we can do as collective things that we can do. And it's not just you're up to you. You know, the society has to take responsibility. We should, you know, the society should provide education for everybody,
mm-hmm.
health care for everybody, secure retirement for everybody. I mean, it's like the whole thing with Social Security.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was based on a shared responsibility between the worker and his savings, the employer providing a retirement,
and the government,
and the government
sure.
providing, and it's a three-way shared responsibility. And the right-wingers are saying, nah, it's all up to you. Let's privatize Social Security,
right.
and it's all up to you.
Yeah.
And it's, you eliminate that shared responsibility. And if you succeed, great. If you don't, tough.
Yeah. And that's a false way of thinking.
Yeah.
It's a sick way of thinking, but yeah. it is a capitalist way of thinking, and it's a damn shame. Hey, Lane, we have to boogie. Thank you for calling. I'm glad you found the program. I hope you're going to call again.
I will.
All right, sir. Take care.
Thanks, Mike.
You have a nice evening. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Just a dream. All the covers that I see are different from the books I read. Everything is crumbling around me. Why does everything cost so much money? Could somebody please help out my family? My mom needs hearing aids, new shoulders and new legs. My dad needs a break, he works all day every day. My brother needs a place and a job where he can make enough money to take care of his baby.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
The television anchor for WSMH, the Fox TV affiliate in Flint, Michigan, recently gave listeners the local weather forecast, saying it's going to be a high of 57 for us here in Flint. Us? This anchor was actually hundreds of miles away in the Baltimore area, working out of the centralized television studio of the Sinclair Broadcast Group, which owns 62 television stations in cities like Flint, Tampa, Pittsburgh, Raleigh, Rochester, Birmingham, and Oklahoma City. Weather is not the only news item removed from local control by the Sinclair chain. For example, Flint's local news team gets 7 minutes on the 10 o'clock news, then the station switches to yet another anchor who's also in faraway Baltimore, but pretending to be in Flint as part of the local broadcast. Sinclair refers to this deception as central casting. Welcome to your news future under the magic of the recent unregulation of our public airwaves by the FCC, allowing more profiteering conglomerates to seize control of our independent local sources of news and information. Under the monopoly-friendly rules rammed through by industry lobbyists and Bush appointees to the FCC, we're headed for an orgy of media mergers, giving even greater control to a handful of giants over what we see, hear, and read. As one of the industry's leading investment analysts so starkly puts it, the biggest implications of the rule changes is that everyone has to decide whether they want to be a buyer or a seller in the next 5 years. The map will change within that time period. The big are going to get bigger. Swell. As they get bigger, our news gets more consolidated and centralized, reduced to remote, cookie-cutter, corporate homogeneity, and our democracy shrinks. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this monopolized monocasting and theft of our public airwaves, call the Media Access Project, 202-232-4300.
Washington, we're now determining the size and the shape of a package. It's not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
You psychopathic little jerk. Oh, my God. I got your package. Charlie is calling from New Zealand. Is that right?
We'd like to be your bureau Indians down here, if possible.
Bureau chief. where at in New Zealand?
We're in Palmerston North.
North Island?
Of the North Island.
Is that, that's nowhere near Rotorua then?
No, it's a couple of hundred kilometers away.
Yeah, well, welcome to the program. You're listening, I take it, on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, welcome aboard.
Well, thanks a lot. I've been enjoying the your Malloy forum, too.
Oh, at the website?
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets pretty intense there. Now, I have to ask you, why are you in New Zealand? You have a Yank accent.
Oh, yeah, I was actually born in Atlanta, so I'm from your neck of the woods.
Oh, and how long have you been there?
We've been here 10 years now.
And you like it, I take it?
A lot.
Have you, first of all, I was married to a woman. I had a son with her. She is from Rotorua, New Zealand, and my son, Chris, this is not the stripper I was referring to earlier, but my son Chris has backpacked through both the North and the South Island, and when he came back, he did this in the summer. He was 17 when he came back. He said it was just the country was everything that that he had imagined it to be, and that his mother had told him that it was. And then, of course, when we have been watching the Tolkien trilogy, which was all shot in New Zealand, it makes me want to move there. I swear to God.
Oh, it's fabulous. We're bicyclists. We just really love the scenery.
It sounds like a great country. So I'm very intrigued that you've called from there.
I actually called about the U3 and U6 unemployment rate. Your earlier caller was absolutely right. The only real good measure is the U6 one,
mm-hmm.
but they're both equations, and you just plug in different numbers depending on what you want to know about what they call the measures of labor utilization.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have money to invest in the economy, then the U3 one is the one you use because it takes into account the efficiency of the workers.
Okay.
So in an economy that's laying off jobs and keeping down wages, and the retained workers are working harder, the unemployment rate looks much lower.
Right, right, right.
And that's the difference.
And that is a false number. By if one is trying to get an indication of how the workforce is or is not doing, to use the U3 number, so called, is a farce. It's a sham. It's a lie.
Oh, absolutely.
The U6 is the one that should be used. It's not surprising. I have to say, this is one instance that the Bush administration is not solely guilty of this. As far as I know, every administration only uses the U3 number.
Yeah, they changed over in the 70s after the oil shocks.
Ah. Well, you know, it's difficult being honest. When you live in America, we are able to con ourselves, probably to a greater degree than any society on the planet. We don't take vacations, whereas civilized people do. We work ourselves to death. We don't unionize in order to protect whatever we do win. And we tell ourselves that we're just having a great time of it all, and not necessarily true.
Listen, you know, German workers work 11 weeks less than American workers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most of the civilized world understands that time is not money. Time is life. and they just kind of piss it away. Charlie, thank you so much for calling. It was a real pleasure. I hope you call again.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Take care.
Bye-bye.
New Zealand. Now, that impresses me, Kathy. I'm just impressed. I guess it's tomorrow in New Zealand. That's scary.
Compassionate conservative, my ass, in executions unsurpassed, surplus gone so fast, divided, not united. What's he want to do now? What's he going to try? Does he really think Armageddon is nigh? Does he care if children die? La 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 la. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Extension program in Wisconsin helps farmers protect the environment without putting them out of business. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Farming practices are often the target of environmental regulation, but for small and medium-sized farms, these rules dig into thin profits and operations struggle to comply. An extension program called Discovery Farms, based at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, is taking an innovative approach to environmental protection. Fred Madison co-directs the program, which uses on-farm research to identify sound environmental practices.
On the farms that are involved in the program, we will start out monitoring for a couple of years, either surface water or groundwater if it's appropriate, to see what's going on. And then after we get a look-see at some data, then we'll be able to sit down with the farmer, talk about how he or she farms, and see if we can figure out some ways that we can lessen the impacts of that farming system on the environment.
For example, Discovery Farms is monitoring the water quality impact of no-till planting, where farmers seed their crops without plowing. The program compares no-till with alternatives such as placing grass buffers along streams. Madison says the results can help guide government regulations.
Can we put together systems of farming in Wisconsin that function effectively from an environmental standpoint, but also can help us to be sure that the farmers are able to stay on the land? We don't want regulations imposed on agriculture that are going to put agriculture out of business. That's not the point.
The program is working on a number of dairy and hog farms in Wisconsin. Madison says research on Discovery Farms is already showing that raising crops and livestock can be both profitable and environmentally sound. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. Thanks to everybody who sent me the CBS link and the suggestion that we talk about this. Yeah, absolutely. Jim and Lyle brought it up, and unbeknownst to me, I hadn't checked the email, but for about 5 or 6 minutes prior to Jim's call, and a bunch of you had mentioned this because apparently CBS just put it up this evening. Is that it? What it says is the headline is Bush knew Iraq info was false. Okay. Impeach the bastard, right? Clinton knew that he was the information was false when he said, I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. Now, of course, the right-wing goat suckers. I said goat suckers, Kathy. The right wing of the Republicans,
well, Bush wasn't under oath. You know, when you give the State of the Union message, you're not under oath. You're really not. Bill Clinton was under oath. He was under oath. Bill Clinton committed perjury. All our boy George did was commit mass murder. Now, there is a difference. Senior administration officials tell CBS News the president's mistaken claim that Iraq tried to buy uranium from Africa was included in his State of the Union address despite objections from the CIA. Before the speech was delivered, the portions dealing with Iraq's weapons of mass destruction were checked with the CIA for accuracy, according to CBS National Security Correspondent David Martin. CIA officials warned the Bush crime family, I'm adding crime family, that the intelligence was not good enough to make the statement that Iraq tried to buy uranium from Africa. And Bush decided to lie anyway, because he is a lying, filthy, useless thug. But he's still president tonight, isn't he? A former U.S. intelligence, now that's CBS's reporting senior administration officials. The Guardian of London, a former U.S. intelligence official who served under the Bush administration in the buildup to the Iraq War, accused the White House yesterday of lying about the threat posed by Saddam Hussein. This was the first time an administration official has put his name to specific claims. The whistleblower, Gregory Thielman, served as a director in the State Department's Bureau of Intelligence until his retirement in September and had access to the classified reports which formed the basis for the U.S. case against Saddam, spelled out by Bush and his aides. Mr. Thielman said yesterday, quote, I believe the Bush administration did not provide an accurate picture to the American people of the military threat posed by Iraq. Thielman said that part of the problem lay with the way senior Bush administration officials misused the information they were provided. And then the Guardian goes on to say, as Democrats demanded a congressional inquiry, the administration sharply changed tack. The Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld told the Senate the U.S. had not gone to war against Iraq because of fresh evidence. We played you those sound bites yesterday. But because Washington saw what evidence there was prior to 2001 in what Rumsfeld called a dramatic new light after September 11th. How much more unraveling has to go on here? How much more has to happen before... See, the disconnect is in the media. All right, CBS is doing its part. I understand that ABC, on Peter Jennings' program the other night, a couple of our listeners emailed or let us know about this, have started to tear at this hole in the dam that is keeping back this flood of lies. So the American people are still operating under a horrendous disconnect thanks to the filthy, disgusting media in this country, for the most part. And especially a big, warm, smelly thank you to talk radio, right-wing talk radio, which is all of talk radio, with few exceptions, for not providing the American public with the truth. Now, these talk radio bastards, I swear, I don't know. If there's a talk radio hell, I hope when I die I go there. And I hope whoever guards talk radio hell will give me an AK-47, and just box after box after box of ammunition.
Now, you can't die in hell, apparently, but you can hurt. So as these talk show hosts die and present themselves at hell, I'm just going to stand there and open fire. Just shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. Ow, oh, don't hit me again, Mike. Ow, oh, Malloy, stop. Oh, me, I'll just ack. Just over and over and over again. They're coming to take me away. They're driving me crazy. I swear to God, you are too. But you're being driven crazy too. So we'll go crazy together. You and I, Truth Seeker. Bush with Mbeki. The president of South Africa, Pretoria. Interesting back and forth here with a reporter about his, George's, lies in his State of the Union address.
Can you believe they're trying to buy nuclear materials in Africa?
Right now?
No, were they? I mean,
one thing's for sure, he's not trying to buy anything right now. If he's alive, he's on the run, and that's the benefit of the Iraqi people.
Yeah, yeah.
But look, I'm confident that Saddam Hussein had a weapons of mass destruction program. In 1991, I will remind you, we underestimated how close he was to having a nuclear weapon. Imagine a world in which this tyrant had a nuclear weapon. In 1998, my predecessor raided Iraq based upon the very same intelligence. And in 2003, after the world had demanded he disarm, we decided to disarm him. And I'm convinced the world is a much more peaceful and secure place as a result of the actions.
Yeah, you little bastard. I swear to God, Bush, you're not even an artful liar like Dick Nixon. You're a thug liar. You're just a thug punk. The reporter says, do you still believe they were trying to buy nuclear materials in Africa? And Bush says, right now? No, were they? The reporter says. The statement you made, and then little punk thug says, one thing is for certain, he's not trying to buy anything right now. If he's alive, he's on the run. We got him on the run. Got him on the run. He's hiding in the hole. We're going to get him, wanted dead or alive, just like we got Osama bin Nowhere. It's one thing to be an artful dodger. It's something else, again, to just be a playground bully thug punk liar. And that's what we have in the Oval Office. Little snot. Colin Powell at a press briefing today in Africa. What country? Do you know what? They're out of South Africa, right, Kathy? I have no idea where they are. The reporter says to Colin Powell, let's say the American people assume that the administration was not intending to mislead or misinform. Okay, why doesn't your administration then see it as an issue of credibility when it comes to the president's State of the Union address? I mean, this is a statement of record. The president used this. He used the facts to make the case that Saddam Hussein was trying to build up his nuclear weapons arsenal and making a case for war to the American people. Why is this not an issue of credibility when it comes to the president's delivering his State of the Union address and using that misinformation, Mr. Secretary?
At the time of the president's State of the Union address, a judgment was made that that was an appropriate statement for the president to make. There was no effort or attempt on the part of the president or anyone else in the administration to mislead or to deceive the American people.
Oh, stop.
The president was presenting what seemed to be a reasonable statement at that time.
Oh, Colin, how can you stand there and whore yourself like a cheap 25-cent prostitute? How can you say a judgment was made that it was an appropriate statement for the president to make when all of you knew it was a lie? What are you saying, Colin, you two-bit punk? What are you saying? That a statement was made or a judgment was made to tell the American people a lie so that 234 of us now could die in that godforsaken country, that thousands and thousands of Iraqis could die, that 1,000 Americans could be wounded, that God knows how many people have been exposed to depleted uranium. Is that what you're saying, you useless sack of crap? An appropriate statement for the president to make. A judgment was made that this was an appropriate statement for the president to make. To stand there and lie to the American public, to lie to the world, with that beady-eyed, smarmy, snotty look on his face. Colin, shame on you. Shame on you. And then he goes on to say there was no effort or attempt on the part of the president or anyone else in the administration to mislead or to deceive the American people. Well, you moron, what do you call it? When you are told the evidence is non-existent and your sock puppet goes out at the State of the Union and states otherwise. What do you call that, Colin? Come on, you're an educated man. Eh? What do you call it? It's a lie, Colin. A lie that you participated in. You, Colin Powell, you. God, and they, and even now, when they are being caught, when it is being revealed, when the truth is coming out, these rat bastards stand there and lie because they are making the assumption they've made since their sock puppet stole the election. The American people don't care. We don't care. The little rat bastard can lie as much as they tell him to lie, as much. Well, I don't know if the cave's got a door on it or not. You know, we're hunting him. He can say anything he wants, they believe, and we will do nothing. Because we are the American sheeple. If we allowed them to steal the presidency and destroy democracy, to destroy representative government, we'll allow them to do anything. That is their mindset. Now, you and I know that's not the case. And you and I know that the day is coming that if this regime is not removed peacefully and legally, then it will probably be removed by other means. This country is not going to continue to stand for this. The slaughter of innocent Iraqi civilians, the murder of 200-plus American soldiers for no reason, none. We're not going to take it much longer, George, Colin, Rummy, Wolfowitz, Pearl, the rest of you thugs. We're not going to take it too much. Cheney. God, I wish that guy would walk in front of a high-powered microwave oven that was doing some popcorn. Colin Powell again. Reporter says, Mr. Secretary, regarding that erroneous report last January that Saddam Hussein tried to buy uranium in Niger, does the administration owe Americans, and in fact the world, an apology for making that statement? The president cited this as evidence in a State of the Union address. If you believed it was true, why did you not cite this uranium purchase in making your case to the UN Security Council 6 days later?
We did not believe that it was appropriate to use that example anymore. It was not standing the test of time.
6 days?
So I didn't use it, and we haven't used it since. But to think that somehow we went out of our way to insert this single sentence into the State of the Union address for the purpose of deceiving and misleading the American people is an overdrawn, overblown, overwrought conclusion.
Yeah, I've got an overdrawn, overblown, overwrought conclusion for you, Colin Powell. You and your filthy criminal regime's days are numbered. There's an overdrawn, overblown, overwrought conclusion for you. This and he says, you know, when the reporter says, why did you use this? You know, it was not true. And he says, we didn't believe that it was appropriate to use that, why didn't you use it when you went in front of the UN 6 days later? What did Colin Powell says? It was not standing the test of time. 6 days? Colin, you lying bastard, 6 days is the test of time? Just like your decrepit psychopathic boss says, well, you know, there are people trying to rewrite history. This is not history. This happened a month ago, George. 6 days? It didn't stand the test of time, Colin? Colin, you liar, you filthy liar. You're going to get caught. All you people are going to get caught. And you're going to go down, every single one of you, with your tribunals and your enemy combatants and your destruction of the U.S. Constitution and your gutting of the Bill of Rights and your disrespect for America and your disrespect for our system, you alien thugs, you're going to go down. Every single one of you. And it will be a great day in this country when you do. It will be wall-to-wall cheering, border-to-border, coast-to-coast, across the fruited plain. You damn liars, you dirty damn liars, you killers, you thugs. And Americans are dying tonight because of your filthy, murderous lies. Damn you. Damn all of you. What can I do about it on my little stupid talk show? Nothing. What can my listeners do? Nothing. But we're coming for you. Trust me. We're coming for you. And the only way we know how, we're going to get you out of office. We are going to send you pack of rat bastards packing. Count on it. Trust me on that. Trust me on that. Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Don't let your weakness show. You just might be the last to know. After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
The Mike Molloy Show.
are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network. Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we're at 800-TALK-YES. Dawn is calling from Portland, Oregon. Dawn, welcome to the program. That's your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is, Mike. Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Welcome aboard.
Hi, I found you through Democratic Underground. Just wanted to give them a plug.
Yes, it's a great organization, Democratic Underground.
That was one of the first sites I found after the Bush v. Gore decision.
Yeah.
And that's how I get my information now. I just watch the media horse for entertainment value.
Or the local news. I still watch local news here in Atlanta when they replay it at 1 o'clock in the morning after we get home. But, I still watch the local news and just kind of chuckle at all the stupid local stories. But I cannot go to American television or American radio for news anymore. I can't do it.
I can't take it seriously at all. But I'm a little bit more optimistic than you are.
Okay.
about the situation.
All right.
I don't know if this makes any sense, but I'll run it by you and see what you think.
Okay.
I think that there are some honorable conservatives and honorable Republicans out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know you say that they're all rat bastards, and there are days when I agree with you.
You know, that's such a funny sound when somebody else says it, rat bastard.
Well, I'll tell you, sometimes when you go off on one of your rats, I'm sitting in my apartment going, yes, yes, and then I'll go, oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes when I listen to a playback of the program, I get embarrassed. I think, oh, my God, you didn't say that.
Yes, you did. And
I know.
Sometimes I say thank you very much because you're saying what I'm thinking, and I'm not crazy. And I think that's a part of the experience, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there are some honorable Republicans, and I honestly do think that if approached in the right way, and I don't know what that is, but I think that it was the Republicans back in 70, I think it was 74, 73.
Who went to Nixon.
Who went into Nixon's office,
sure,
and said, hey, it's over. You need to cut, you need to go.
And well, now, if you're talking about honorable Republicans from 30 years ago, I agree. But I cannot think of honorable Republicans now. If they were honorable, they would get the hell out of this party. They wouldn't become
like
Democrats.
Jim Jeffords?
Yeah, like Jeffords, just become an independent until the Republican Party can reclaim a soul. Ron Paul is another one who from Texas, a member of the U.S. House, who used to be a libertarian, but he switched to Republican. He's not really a Republican. Can I get you to hold on?
Yeah, sure.
All right, because we have a break here, and I'll come back to you right after the break.
I like talking to you. This
All right.
is cool.
All right, stick around, and We'll pick up the call right after we come back from the break. And the rest of you folks on hold, please stay with us. Quick break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Police in Bakersfield, California say detectives who were sent to North Carolina to investigate a possible mass murder suspect were snubbed by the suspect despite his initial agreement to cooperate. However, Captain Neil Mahan says 41-year-old Vincent Brooks still, quote, has an opportunity to lower our suspicions.
The way he can do that is to talk to us. After all, he's the father of these children. This was his wife that was murdered. And we believe that he should want to talk to us.
Captain Mahan says Bakersfield detectives traveled from California to Elizabeth City, North Carolina, after they got word that the elementary school vice principal had turned himself in and initially indicated he wanted to cooperate with investigators. It was due to his peaceful surrender and a bit of new evidence that Mahan says their suspicions were lowered about his involvement in the shooting deaths of his estranged wife, their three young children, and his mother-in-law. Mahan says detectives will be in North Carolina until tomorrow, but that Brothers has already left the police station. He also says Bakersfield investigators are on their way to Ohio in the search for clues, but Mahan wouldn't explain what they hope to find there. A Van Nuys, California judge has denied a defense motion to tape a witness testimony before the start of the Robert Blake murder trial. Steve Gonzalez has more from the court.
Defense wanted to tape Diane Mattson's testimony because they felt the witness might leave and not return for trial next year. Mattson's attorney, Brian Oxman, said her testimony would hurt the prosecution.
Christian Brando was on a telephone call with Duffy Hamilton and Jerry Lee Petty, at which time Christian Brando said, somebody needs to put a bullet into that head, referring to Bonnie Lee Bakley. And Duffy Hamilton responded, yeah, that's right.
He said it could point the finger at Brando as the shooter in Van Nuys. I'm Steve Gonzalez.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patent active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days. Guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
Pittsburgh Pirates first baseman Randall Simon will not face criminal charges after he hit a Milwaukee Brewers sausage mascot with a bat during a game last night. Simon was cited for disorderly conduct, which carries a fine of $432. Simon used his bat to hit a young woman wearing a sausage costume during last night's sausage race at Miller Park. The 19-year-old woman fell to the ground and knocked over a 21-year-old woman who was also wearing one of the costumes. Both women received minor injuries but are okay. A prosecutor confirms that Simon met with the young woman he hit, but it's not known what was said. The Pirates have released a statement saying they will address the matter internally and apologize to the Brewers and the fans in Milwaukee.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Los Angeles Lakers All-Star guard Kobe Bryant was reportedly taken to a hospital shortly after he was accused of sexually assaulting a 19-year-old Colorado woman. Vail taxi driver Terry O'Brien told the Orange County Register that Bryant was with Eagle County Sheriff's officers when he was picked up from a Colorado hospital early on July 2nd.
They asked me to turn on the radio so I couldn't hear what was being said, so I just got bits and pieces of their dialogue.
O'Brien said he then took Bryant and the three members of his entourage to the Hotel Colorado in Glenwood Springs. He then drove one of the men back to the lodge and spa at Cordillera, where he said the man cleared out Bryant's belongings. Profit-taking and worries about the job market sent the major market sharply lower today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 120 points to 90.36. The NASDAQ was down 31 points to 17.15. The S&P 500 dropped 13 points to 9.88. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Years ago, a small hard drive meant a traffic-y physical commute. Today, it's the curse of telecommuting. But however you get to work, I'll pave the way with some timely maintenance tips when we come back.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
Whether you commute to work via old-fashioned blacktop or the Internet superhighway, automotive maintenance will give you more time for fun. Just remember, give me five. One, once a year, treat your vehicle to an annual inspection. Two, every 2 years, change brake fluid. Three, it's time for an oil service every 3,000 miles. Four, mark your calendar every 4 years for new radiator hoses. And five, rotate tires every 5,000 miles. Now, take five away from your busy job to enjoy a cruise in your well-maintained vehicle. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. We're talking with Dawn, who is called from Portland, Oregon. And right before the break, we were talking about honorable Republicans. You know, I think about Howard Baker. I think about, wasn't Senator Sam Irvin from North Carolina, wasn't he a Republican or was he a Democrat?
I don't know.
These were people on the Watergate Committee.
Oh, okay. This is
on the Select Committee on Watergate. I don't disagree. Wayne Morse from
that's an Oregon guy.
Yeah,
he was I think an independent, and he was the only one to
vote to oppose the Vietnam War, I think.
The Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, the only one
right.
opposed it was Wayne Morris. I don't disagree at all that there have been in the past 40 years in this country honorable Republicans. I just don't see them now, Dawn.
Well, I think that the downfall of the Bush administration is going to be their arrogance.
Oh, there's no question. The Greeks.
Because they there might be grumblings, but they have stepped on a lot of toes in the way that they govern. They want things their way. They want it right now, and they don't care about what anybody else thinks. And that is, that whether you're a diehard partisan or not, that's gonna build up resentment mm-hmm. in people. And I think that Levin's on the right track. I know that you went on a rant on him a couple of days ago. As far as, come on, Carl, just say it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's on the right track because he's quoting back to them what they said.
Right, right.
And I think that there are three or four things that give me pause and give me hope, in this what seems like a hopeless time. And the first thing, I think, is the way that the military is being treated.
Mm-hmm.
The veterans, some conservative veterans that I'm in contact with, are steamed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because of the cuts in the veterans' benefits, and that they're opposing increasing the death benefit
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for the kids who are killed in action right now.
Right.
And I think that core base is going to start turning against Bush, especially with the kids sending letters to their parents saying, get me out of here. I don't care how you, the girls are getting pregnant just so they can come home.
Right.
So the military, I think that Shinseki probably has a lot more power, has a lot more influence, and Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Clark is definitely impressing me, and I think I'd like to see him as the VP on the ticket. Thank you for letting me ramble.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. No, you're making some good points, and I would like to share your optimism where it concerns Republicans. Maybe eventually, I've been screaming about Republicans get your party back since Newt Gingrich's so-called revolution in 94 and 95.
It seems like every other show this guy is on there. Him and North were on Goofball Insanity today.
Yeah, and North, who brought utter disgrace to the Marine Corps and should have been tried for treason, for trading, setting up arms deals with what was identified by his boss as a terrorist state, a country that took Americans hostage, while at the same time he was funding illegally, North was, another group of terrorists in Central America whose death squads were responsible for the murder of 200,000 people. If ever someone deserved to be tried for crimes against humanity, it would be Oliver North.
And here he sits, a successful, quote-unquote, Republican.
Sure, absolutely.
And it does sometimes boggle my mind, and I do enjoy the fact that I can have this anger that I've had since December 12th, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can... it's like I try to be selective in what I believe and what I don't believe. I take some of what Mike Ruppert says seriously, or Rupert, I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it. I take some of what he says seriously, but then there's some of it that I just think, no way, this is not going to help me.
Sure.
And what I'm finding out is that if I can find a right-wing Republican who says something that I agree with and that helps my cause, then that's exactly who I'm going to use.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I do agree with that part. Hey, Dawn, I'm so glad you found the program. I'm glad you called. I hope you're going to call again.
In 3 days.
There you go.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Dawn. I appreciate it. You have a nice evening. If you don't know, she's referring to the three-day rule, which is really kind of a two-day rule. But, if you call in on a Monday... Well, that's Monday, and then there's Tuesday, and then you can call Wednesday. That's why we're calling it a three-day rule. It is quite a three-day rule. But our Manhattan East Side Bureau Chief, Kim, just sent me an email. She says, I just tuned into your show tonight, so I don't know if you've discussed this yet. How is it possible that Richard Gephardt missed the vote today on the overtime bill? There's no excuse for this unless he doesn't want to go on the record. How can he, in good conscience, miss such an important vote? I don't get it. Do you get it? What Kim is referring to is the same thing MJ wrote to me about. He's writing from St. Louis, the home of the person MJ calls Tricky Dicky Gephardt. And MJ wrote, there's a very important vote regarding proposed changes as to who's paid overtime. Republicans won it by a three-vote margin. Seven Democrats, including Gephardt, that alleged friend of the working person, did not even vote. MJ says, their names should be on a wall of shame. Did they not vote out of fear of alienating their fat cat contributors? Who will stand up for workers? Overtime is not only a union issue. I work in the insurance industry and have worked for employers who demanded 30 hours a month of mandatory overtime. To be denied overtime pay because I meet some weenie's definition of a knowledge worker is extreme. I don't make a whole lot of money, far less than the $65,000 per year, even with overtime. Again, who will stand up for workers? Where's the outrage? When will people get tired of being screwed? I know I am. And according to the articles in USA Today, the House of Representatives pretty much voted along party line, backed George Bush on the changes as to who is eligible to be paid overtime. And Gephardt, and thanks, Kim, thanks, MJ, Gephardt didn't even show up to vote. Now, that's deliberate. Gephardt, he's the darling of, or wants to be, the darling of organized labor. And this unconscionable thug doesn't even show up to vote on an issue that affects the working class. So the vote goes down by a three-vote margin. It goes Bush's way. It goes Tom DeLay's way. And who helped it go that way? Dick Gephardt? Goodbye, Dick. Nice knowing you. Oh, my God. All right. Let's just state it right up front. If you are a Democrat, if you are working class, which is about 70-80% of us, okay? By working class, it means you work for your paycheck. You're paid either based on an hourly output of your labor or you're paid based on a salary, but you're a working class. If you're a Democrat, if you're still for Gephardt after hearing about this, shame on you. And if you say, well, Mike, I'm salary, it doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you, maybe indirectly, but it does apply to you because eventually you are going to lose your job and you are going to have to work for an hourly wage and you will be forced to work 50, 60 hours a week with no overtime because George Bush and his cohorts, among whom seem to be now Dick Gephardt, don't want you to have overtime pay. Goodbye, Dick. You see, now this is the reason people are saying Kucinich, Dean, even Kerry. Wasn't it Gephardt when the war resolution was passed or the Patriot Act? I don't remember. I just remember the photo op. This is back when I was still watching television a few months ago. And there was Bush and all these Republican vermin and kind of elbowing their way into the frame so they could have their picture on TV. And this is before the last election. And say, see, I'll do for George what Monica did for Bill. See, here I am. Dick Gephardt. There he was. Hey, here I am. I'm really a Republican. I'm a whore. I'll be a whore. Just like Dasha will be a whore. I'll be a whore, too. Here I am. I love you, George. I love you. Thank you very much for taking away the first and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the eighth and the 14th Amendment. Thank you, George. Here, may I kiss the hem of your dress? Oh, George, I love you. I'm Dick Gephardt. I'm from Missouri. The show me state? Listen, you've shown me, boy. I love you. I love you, man. Thank you for PNAC. Thank you for the USA Patriot Act. Thank you, George. Thank you for the war against Iraq. Thank you. God, I love you, man. You're just so cool. Dick Gephardt, goodbye. You're out of here. Another punk. Another punk Democrat. You know, as Bart Kopp has said many times, I'm paraphrasing, but the Democratic Party, the leadership in the Democratic Party, is the worst enemy that rank-and-file Democrats could possibly have right now. And that includes Gephardt. Oh, I know, Nancy Pelosi got his job. But Gephardt is still there. Gephardt wants to be president, and he won't even show up for a vote on changing the overtime rules. And the vote goes Bush's way by three. And it seven Democrats shift over,
and vote with the Republicans. And where was Gephardt? Gephardt doesn't even vote. Gephardt doesn't even vote. And I'd like to ask Nancy Pelosi. You are the Democratic, you are the minority leader in the House, Nancy. How in the name of hell did you allow seven Democrats vote against Americans who are working class who support your party? How could you do it, Nancy? How did you let this happen? Damn these people. Huh? All together now on three. One, two, three. Damn these people. So that's the Gephardt story for tonight, huh? CBS News headline, CBSNews.com, and on the newscast tonight, Bush knew Iraq information was false. Headline, The Guardian of London, White House lied about Saddam threat. What a too stupid to be president. What did he say? I have no doubt in my mind. I have no doubt in my mind that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. And as Greg in Maryland wrote, and the critical phrase is, in my mind, it gives Bush a legal out if he finds no weapons. Therefore, this country went to war not on evidence, but on something floating in George Bush's mind. Oh, for Christ's sake. Oh, my God. Katie, bar the door.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Mom? Dad?
Someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day. Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Ugly
weapon. They flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So as Greg in Maryland emailed me, just kind of a synopsis of Bush saying, I have no doubt in my mind that Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. That was in that soundbite that we played for you from his kind of fantasy trip to the continent of Africa. Where today he and Pickles got to watch elephants copulating. Did you see that? It was on Keith Olbermann's show on MSNBC. Yeah, we had the monitor on. And he kept teasing this thing about elephants doing it with Bush and his old lady watching. And I thought, what? What? Yeah, what? And there it was. They were in this huge, what is it, Kathy? Land Rover and out in some game preserve or something where elephants live. And they were sitting there like the royalty that they are, the Bushes, George and Pickles. And there were about three or four elephants standing there. And all of a sudden, this one, what do you call it, a bull elephant? Mounts one of the, what do you call it, cow elephant? I don't know these terms. Help me out. You got the college degree. A huge elephant mounts another elephant, and, he wasn't doing the hula. It was very clear what this elephant is doing, and there sit the Bushes. Now, I wish Ashcroft would have been in the back of that Land Rover. Watch Ashcroft get out of the truck and try to drape a cloth over that, you know.
Oh, this has got to stop! End this fornication!
But Pickles and George seem to be enjoying it. But anyway, there it is, the critical phrase, in my mind, he had weapons of mass destruction. In my mind, he did. I've got a strange little mind in my mind. So as Greg writes from Maryland, that gives him a legal out when it becomes clear to even the most knuckle-draggling right-wing freak in this country that there are and weren't any weapons of mass destruction probably beyond 1994. But the bottom line, in order to go to war now, remember, Bush had a talk with God. God told him. Bush simply believed Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. He didn't lie about it. He believed it. You see? You see how this immunizes Bush against being tried for treason and his ass thrown in jail for the rest of his natural life. This is how one of the ways Oliver North and Caspar Weinberger and Elliot Abrams and the rest of these thugs broke free of the yoke of justice regarding Iran-Contra. Imagine that, Greg writes, 200-plus American soldiers dead because George Bush, in his mind, had an opinion that war was necessary. How do those, you know, I've asked this on the program before, and you vets, combat vets, you don't need to call in because I know what your answer would be. I really do. But the thought keeps popping into my head. How do the parents of these 200-plus dead U.S. soldiers, how do they cope with this information as it's coming out? Their sons, for the most part, in a couple of instances, their daughters, their sons are dead.
Dead! Gone! Their husbands, dead. What for what? For what? To stop international communism? No. To stop Nazism? No. To stop an invasion of the United States? No. To prevent a possible attack on this country? No.
Why then? Why are these soldiers dead? Because George Bush says God told him to invade Iraq. This rat bastard belongs in front of one of his own tribunals, doesn't he? How do these families deal with this?
The woman died like a citadel, but I get what I can get from the monkey man, great, great monkey man. Crazy, crazy, man, you got me yourself.
There are some who... I feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Union employees of tiremaker Goodyear remain in purgatory 2 weeks after contract talks broke off over the issue of job security. About 16,000 Goodyear workers in 12 states are without a labor agreement and ready to walk off the job when given the word. Both sides hope to avert a strike which could cripple the beleaguered company, but the United Steelworkers calls Goodyear's continued movement of tire jobs overseas unacceptable.
The fighting words are back in New Haven, Connecticut, as contract talks stall again between Yale University and unions representing some 4,000 clerical, housekeeping, and maintenance workers. Informal meetings last month brought the two sides no closer to a contract, with the major outstanding issues being salary increases and pension benefits. Union negotiators are willing to accept binding arbitration in order to reach a deal, but they say if there's no new contract by September, they're prepared to launch an indefinite strike.
Another blow to the union rights of government employees. The Federal Labor Relations Authority, or FLRA, ruled this week that the head of the Transportation Security Administration did not overstep his bounds when he revoked the right of airport baggage screeners to bargain collectively as a union. The American Federation of Government Employees, which hopes to represent the workers, says the decision is not surprising given that the FLRA's director is a Bush appointee. The union plans to challenge the decision in a federal court in the coming weeks.
The Philippine government is disturbed by a new report from its Department of Labor and Employment, which inspected more than 6,000 businesses between January and March of this year and found that more than 40% of them were ignoring several labor laws. The most widespread violations were failures to pay the minimum wage and overtime. The department estimates at least 40,000 workers in the Philippines are being underpaid.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. You know, the CBS report now at CBS.com and on their newscast and ABC the other night, interesting, I I'm only getting this information that because you all are providing it. I don't know if NBC has reported anything or not. But keep in mind that ABC originally put together, and I hope I'm saying this right because I used to work for ABC. It was originally put together by the CIA. Right after World War II, shortly after World War II, when it was still the OSS, ABC Radio Network was, in its original form, was or its original concept. I think even old spooks like William Casey was involved in it. Now, this is before Casey was the director of the CIA. At one time, he was one of the originals, I guess, with the OSS. Which predated the CIA. But if I'm not mistaken, if I remember my ABC Radio Network history, the ABC Radio Network was originally a CIA construct. Now, their function in America was to provide entertainment and you know, shows, stuff, news. ABC has a long history of providing entertainment over their radio network before radio became the swamp that it is now. But back when radio was radio. But the idea was that by owning a radio network, by putting together a radio network, they would have access to sources of information that they otherwise wouldn't. Now, that's the long way of getting to this point. The fact that ABC is beginning to talk about it. Obviously, ABC is now owned by the Disney Corporation. But The Bush crime family is obviously trying to lay off everything on the CIA. And as Will Pitt has pointed out, as Matt Condom, our Boston bureau chief, has pointed out, and these guys have close contacts with CIA. Matt's father is ex-CIA, 30-some years. The CIA is not going to roll over and play dead on this. So I was just thinking, I just wonder if some of the reason that the ABC radio and television, I should say television now, the ABC television network is fighting back, obviously not to the extent that CBS is. I wonder if it has to do with anything with the fact that ABC started out as a CIA front organization. Did you all know that? You probably did. Scott has been holding on forever. He's calling from Santa Fe. Scott, I apologize for taking so long, especially since this is your first time calling, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hello, Mike.
Yes.
Great hearing from you, man. I very much appreciate your show. I've been listening since before this debacle began in, the latest round of it, of course. I called to share with you a very short poem that I wrote in February, just before all of the worldwide protest against George the Lesser, as Aaron Dottie Roy calls him, and I'd like to share it with you and your listeners.
Well, let it rip. Like. Go ahead.
It's very short.
Go ahead.
It's titled Last Call for Protocol. Powell's on the White House lawn. With ring in hand, he's just a pawn. How can he be proud he's black? The ones he serves create the lack. Rumsfeld rattles swords all day. He's got no other role to play. Without his weapons of destruction, he'd be no big production. Ashcroft works his homeland magic, thinks the Bill of Rights is tragic. His agenda's goal will entail a police state to prevail. Cheney stays behind the scenes and orchestrates the Fuhrer's means. Puppet masters like him know concealed power runs the show.
Yeah. Good. That's good, Scott. I like that. Like is not the right word.
I appreciate all of your listeners and their... I don't have the capacity for email, but I read a lot and I listen to the radio, and I'm grateful that you are on.
Well, thank you. I'm kind of surprised that KTRC still carries the last 2 hours of the program, which I believe runs out there now from 8 till 10. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's 9 till... Well, yeah, with the time frame.
Yeah, it's my understanding that only 2 hours the program is carried, which is better than nothing, I guess.
Right.
And I'm glad you found it. I hope don't be a stranger. I hope you continue to check in with us. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate your call. Appreciate your call, sir. Mike is calling from Chicago. Hey, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you been?
Hey, I'm doing fine. You haven't called in for a while.
It's been a while, man.
Yeah.
Actually, it's the first time I'm calling on the Internet feed. That's all I get here.
Yeah, what's up?
In the land of the 800 megahertz squawk box.
Right.
Or, I don't even know if they got that much, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Basically, my point was, my reason for calling was that as a follow-up to the CBS revelations, I've been kind of going through the website, checking out what some of these the freepers got to say and just what some of the initial response is.
Yeah.
And, man, it's scary. I mean, the spin has already begun. These guys are living in such a state of denial that it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a huge story.
Yeah, but it's Clinton's fault.
Well, everything's Clinton's fault.
Yeah, it's either Clinton's fault or that bitch Hillary freepers to me are scum. They're the scum on the bottom of my shoes.
Well, it's not even them. I mean, I actually make a point of perusing LS's message board, and that is that makes the freepers look like an enlightened mass.
The WLS?
Oh yeah.
Boy, they've gone straight to hell, haven't they?
Oh man, I mean it's unbelievable. Actually, there's a little bit of a grass movement here in Chicago to petition them. In light of a fairness doctrine or anything like that, I mean, the only way you're going to get it is by voting your dollars.
Yeah.
And they are the most powerful station in the city.
Yeah.
So, to have them just spewing propaganda upon propaganda.
Oh, it's awful.
It's unbelievable.
It's so bad. I am so glad. I never thought I would say this because I really enjoyed working at WLS.
Right.
But I am so glad that I got out of there before they turned into the filthy swamp that they are.
Hey,
oh,
I sent when you left, I know you're aware of this. It came. It was a complete surprise to a lot of your loyal listeners, my guys who called in.
I know.
And we contacted management and, tried to find out what was going on and just were stonewalled
nope,
to return.
Never find out. Absolutely
yeah.
Never find out.
Exactly. But just a final point, I'll let you go. I don't think this is going to stick. I mean, I'm actually, believe it or not, a former Fox News Channel employee.
Really?
Yeah. I used to, sleeping with the enemy a little bit. But.
Yeah, well, that's cool. So you don't think the CBS story will, as they say, have legs?
No. We're coming up on Friday tomorrow, okay?
Yeah.
So they'll find something to put in the forefront of the news. I mean, already it's not being picked up. To answer your question, MSNBC is not carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
CNN, to my knowledge, is not carrying it yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm thinking is that Bob Schieffer's CBS Face the Nation program on Sunday, since CBS is the one who first used the L word and put this up on their website, surely is going to come up on CBS.
Yeah, it is, but it's going to give these guys a couple of days. I mean, over the weekend, typically when stories break on Friday, and that's what this is going to be, it's going to be a story that breaks on Friday.
Right.
It's done for a reason. I mean, this has been out there for a while. I mean, but the corporate press, and believe me, as someone who knows, it's the corporate press.
Oh, yeah.
They put this out on Friday because they know, like, over the weekend, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's no news going on. So it loses its steam. And that gives Ari a chance to get his talking points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've posted so many things on this already, and all my right-wing combatants haven't replied one thing because they're waiting for Rush, they're waiting for Hannity,
right.
They're waiting for Newsmax, giving their marching orders.
I know. These people are so stupid. God, I don't think I have ever met a class or group of human beings as uncreative, as brain-dead and ignorant as these freeper types. It's just astonishing, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, just astonishing. All right.
We keep on fighting the good fight, and we'll do the same in the Midwest front, man.
All right, Mike, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it.
Just take care.
Yeah, you too. You too. John is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, John.
Hi, Mike. Listen, there's a little ray of hope, maybe. CNN poll taken today.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, did you see that?
Yeah, what is it? 80% of the people said Bush was lying.
Yeah, now, here's what's interesting, though. Would CNN have put that out 2-3 weeks ago?
Well, they wouldn't have asked the question.
Yeah, they wouldn't have asked the question.
2 or 3 weeks ago. So
this is interesting that now they come out. And, I mean, really, 80%. I mean, that's very out of the 16,000 votes.
The only problem that I have with it, John, it is CNN, first of all. It's not really a poll. It's just people. I voted in it. When somebody sent me the link and they said, hey, check this out. So I went to it and I clicked. Yeah, I clicked too. But the only people who go to those CNN polls anymore, the freepers don't even care anymore. I don't think they even try to skew the polls on CNN anymore, because I've seen several in the past few days that have a decided anti-Bush smell to them. Mm. And freepers, these right-wingers are to Bush 1,000 times over what Monica was to Bill. And they'll do anything. They'll do anything to satisfy their Führer, because they are Nazis down to the very core of their beings. So the fact that poll was 80%, anti-Bush, it's a little suspicious to me.
Oh, who knows? The other thing, though, Mike, if I got time here, I wanted to bring it to your attention. You were talking about the Democrats earlier.
Yeah.
There was a friend of mine who was a staunch Democrat. I used to really piss him off because I would blame a lot of things on the Democrats.
Right.
They say, well, why are you always blaming the Democrats? I said, because they're supposed to be the firewall between us and the Republicans. I said, I don't blame the Republicans for Rehnquist and those people in the Supreme Court. They could not have got there without the Democrats.
That's right.
For an example. And we couldn't have had this war without the Democrats.
That's right.
So, and I know there are some good Democrats and that didn't vote. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I don't know. It's really amazing that Democrats also are not taking responsibility for their own mistakes is the same as the Republicans.
I know. It makes it hard for those of us who are still card-carrying Democrats to remain as such. John, thanks for checking in, pal.
You're welcome.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Well, if you've just joined us, part of what John was referring to there was the fact that Dick Gephardt didn't show up for a vote on Bush's plan to screw the American worker out of overtime pay. And as a result, partly, of Gephardt not even bothering to vote, the working man's hero, Dick Gephardt, partly as a result of his not even showing up to vote, Bush's anti-overtime bill passed in the U.S. House. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to it in the Senate. Doesn't matter. What matters to me as a Democrat is Gephardt didn't even bother showing up to vote. Well, Dick, you have just joined the ranks of Joe Lieberman, as far as I'm concerned. I know a lot of people say anybody, any Democrat, just to get Bush out of there. And I understand that. I do understand that. I do understand that. But can you believe Gephardt? More dead in Iraq. More American dead in Iraq. The slaughter just continues, doesn't it? It just continues. Our young men dying for Halliburton, dying for the Carlyle Group. Two U.S. soldiers killed. Interestingly, the Associated Press reports this. An American soldier attached to the 101st Airborne died Monday in another non-hostile gunshot incident near Balad. Soldiers at the airbase near Balad said on condition of anonymity that the soldier had taken his own life. So now we have suicides. Now, regarding these deaths, regarding the daily attacks on America's young men, America's soldiers, regarding all this, Condoleezza Rice had a comment about it last Thursday on the growing number of U.S. casualties. Listen as Condoleezza Rice starts to sound like this drunken bastard Rumsfeld
At the end of her comments, the reporter says, on Iraq, the number of U.S. casualties that we're seeing since the president declared the end of major combat operations, is the number of casualties for U.S. troops that you expected to see happening at this time when you launched this war? That's the question to Rice.
Look, any casualty is one casualty too many, whether we're in major military operations or what we're doing now. But the fact of the matter is that when the president declared major military operations over, he talked about the dangers that still were ahead.
Oh, well then.
He talked numerous times about the pockets of these Ba'athists and others who are trying to be determined not to let their fellow Iraqi citizens have a new and better future.
Oh, Jesus.
And so we knew that it was going to be a dangerous time. I don't think anybody spent time trying to say, well, how do you define dangerous?
How do you define dangerous? You define dangerous, you moron, when you have American soldiers surrounded by hostiles and you have a half-witted president back in the United States saying, bring them on. That's how you define dangerous, Miss Rice. Pockets? Pockets of Ba'athists and others who are trying to be determined not to let their fellow Iraqi citizens have a new and better future? Is that what Auntie Condi just said? Yes, it is what she just said. Pockets? Let me tell you something, Miss Rice. These people may not like Saddam, but they don't like Americans probably at this point even more. Pockets my ass, Miss Rice. This is turning into an organized resistance, what in a more gentler time, in a more honest time, was referred to as guerrilla warfare. And our soldiers are going to continue to be killed. Only it's not a combat situation. These are American soldiers who are being murdered. And they're being murdered because this half-witted moron in the White House and his gang of liars keeps them in a position where they can be murdered. Isn't that nice?
I know what it means to hug mothers and wives.
Hey, you, out there in the cold, getting lonely, getting old, can you feel me?
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. So that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, Ted sent me an email here. Cap Cities, Capital Cities, was the CIA front company that William Casey helped found. And Capital Cities, or as we used to call it, Cap Cities, bought ABC in the 80s. Around the time Disney was acquiring ABC in 1995, the CIA was caught doing corporate espionage for Disney in France. So we can assume that when Disney took over, the CIA didn't just say, okay, we got to move on. Thanks, Ted. I usually get about at least 30% of the story right. Thank God for this audience. Lynn is calling from Delaware. Lynn from Democratic Underground. Hey, Lynn.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going, sweetheart. How are you?
It's fine. I know you only got a few minutes left. I kept trying to get in all night.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Hey, you know, there is something that everybody out here can do to really just get involved, and that is, you know, every morning I get up, I read my local paper, I go to the op-ed section, and before the war started, every letter was like, go war, go Bush, go, 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 Bush is great. And I'll tell you this much, now every letter is like, where's the weapons of mass destruction? What about the forged documents? Bush is lying. Why are people still dying after the war's over with?
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it, I'm reading a little paper from Delaware. It isn't that big, but the message is starting to turn, and I think everybody needs to start calling into the radio shows, all of them, and writing to their papers and their editors and start asking these questions, because I think it's starting to get out there. I think that's why maybe CBS came out and said about, you know, the forged documents, about what Bush had done, because they're starting to see the public turn. And the only way they're going to see the public turn is if we read about it and we write about it and we call about it. So
yeah, that's a very good point. You know, letters to the editor are an effective way of stirring the pot, so to speak. Granted, some publications won't publish letters, but that are contrary to what their editorial stance might be. But most big city newspapers will consider letters to the editor, and I think what you're suggesting is an excellent idea.
Oh. Well, you have a good night. Okay?
Thanks, Lynn. All right, take care. Thanks for checking in.
Mm-hmm, bye-bye.
All right, bye. Oh, let's stop now, okay? We're about out of time anyway, aren't we? Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Stephanie Stryker. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. A lot of the music comes from Arkansas, from Jim, our music bureau chief. And from New York, thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster at MaximumInteractive.com for all his work. Thanks to all of you for participating in the program tonight. And if that participation is just listening, bless you for it. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145.